Welcome to the MRBC podcast. Today, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Let's join Pastor Russ Marin for today's message.
Now, you have to understand the background for this passage. You know the story. Israel was in Egypt for 400 years. God sends Moses into Egypt to bring them out of bondage, and he does. And in the Bible, we often talk that it's a picture of our salvation. They were in slavery and bondage, and God brought them out with Moses leading them. When they got out, they took him up to Kadesh Barnea, and at that point sent spies into the promised land to see what it was like. And 12 spies came back, and 10 spies said, "There are giants in there. We will be like grasshoppers there. We can't defeat this army, these huge armies." And 2 men, Caleb and Joshua, said, "No, God said we could have this land, and we can have it. We must step forward. We must take a step of faith." And at that point, Israel said, "No, the giants are too big. It's too dangerous. We can't go." So at that point, they lost their opportunity to inherit the promises God had for them in the promised land. And a whole generation was sent back into the wilderness and never survived it. They died in the wilderness. So what it is it's a picture. They were freed. They came out of bondage. And they had an opportunity for a full Christian life. But they would not walk by faith. So God sent them back into the wilderness, and they aimlessly wandered around in the wilderness for years and years and years, for 40 years. Okay? So Paul in Hebrews is writing this. Now I'm going to say Paul wrote it. This is the one book of the Bible where men, scholars don't seem to be sure who wrote it. And most people seem to think Paul wrote it, but you really can't say that dogmatically. But I'm going to say Paul wrote this, and he is going to say to the Hebrews, "You folks now have gotten saved. You've gotten saved. You're safe. You're not going to hell. You're safe. However, you're close to losing the blessing that God has for you after you get saved." And he uses Israel as the example. And then today, this applies to us. If you and I have been saved, we're saved, we're going to heaven, we're not going to hell, that's already settled. But if we will not walk by faith and do what God wants us to do, we'll miss the blessing, the abundant blessing that God has for us. So much more in the promised land, okay? So this passage, if it's going to say anything, this is what it's going to say. God wants us to be making spiritual progress. Making spiritual progress. I'm going to say later, there's no standing still spiritually. You are either going forward or you are inching backward to getting to the point where you're not going anywhere and you're backsliding. So, I'm going to ask you a question. And for each person in here, this would be different. This would be different. It wouldn't be the same for everybody. Are you making progress spiritually. Now look at Hebrews 5, verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." Now he's talking about Jesus Christ. We have many things to say. Paul was getting ready to teach them what is Jesus Christ doing presently, today. What is his ministry today? He was getting ready to teach them that, but he says there are hard things have to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now, dull of hearing, you say, what's dull of hearing? Look at Hebrews 6, verse 12. It says, that ye be not slothful. Slothful. Apathetic. Now, in the Greek, the same word that is dull is the same word that is slothful. So if you were reading this in Greek, it'd be the same word. So it means the same thing here. They were spiritually apathetic. They were lazy. It was preventing them from growing. Okay? I have a lot of things to tell you. I want to tell you about what Christ is doing today and what he's going to do and what he can do in your life and in this world. But you don't understand. You won't understand it, he's saying to the Hebrews. You won't understand it because you're dull of hearing. You're lazy. You're slothful. You're not making progress. Okay? That's what he's saying to the Hebrews. And he says, you're not going to understand. You're not going to understand. All right? Verse 12. He says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. You've been saved a while, and you ought to be teachers by now. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He said, you've been saved a while now. You ought to be teachers. But instead of being teachers, you need people to teach you the first oracles, or the first things, the foundational things, the birth of Christ, his life, his teachings, the death of Christ, the resurrection. Those are foundational things for Christian people. And instead of you being teachers, you're having to be taught those things, the first oracles, again. And it says, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Okay? I want you to turn to 1 Peter. I just want to show you a verse because I'm going to use this verse. Now, I want you to read it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Now, this is a well-known verse. You ought to know this verse. Every new believer ought to memorize this verse. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He's using an illustration here. Every baby drinks milk. And as they drink milk, they grow strong. If they don't drink milk, they don't grow strong. Well, biblically, the milk is the Word of God, the birth of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, his sinless life, his trip to Calvary, his death and suffering on the cross, his shedding blood, that's the milk of the Word of God. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you can grow strong thereby. Okay? So go back here to Hebrews. He says, and are become, at the end of verse 12, it says, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So he says to the Hebrews, You got saved, and you've let it slip away. Not your salvation, but your growth. You're growing in Christ. You've let it slip away, and you need to go back to the first things and go through these again. You ought to be teachers, but you can't be teachers because of that. Okay? And I'd like to teach you meat. I'd like to give you meat, things that are harder to digest, things that are going to take more for you to understand. But you should be stronger and you can understand them, and that's the life of Jesus Christ in this life. Now, today, what's Jesus doing today? Verse 13 says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." He means he's a baby Christian. Baby Christian. Babies get where they can eat cereal and they get where they can eat meat someday as they get stronger. All right, verse 14. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." All right? So here's what Paul's going to do now. He is showing us the marks of a spiritually immature person. All right? Spiritually immature person is a person that is, one, he's dull of hearing. He's lazy. He's apathetic. He's not learning the Word of God. In chapter 2 of Hebrews, verses 1 to 4, it says, he drifts from the Word. He drifts from the Word. When I first got saved, I memorized quite a bit, and I still use those verses. I use those verses more than any other verses. But then I went for a while, and I kind of drifted away from memorizing a little bit. And I was up and down, up and down. It was a time of growing in Christ. But eventually I got to where I wasn't up and down so much, and I was in the Word of God more, and I did not let it slip away. But what he's saying here is, take heed, chapter 2 says, take heed lest what you know slips away. All right? You heard that Jesus is virgin born. You heard that he rose again. You knew all that. You be careful. You don't let that slip away. And you don't grow. And instead of going forward and progressing, you begin to backslide. So you let the Word of God drift away. It makes you dull of hearing. Two, you begin to doubt the Word. Chapters 3 and 4 say this. You begin to doubt the Word. Unbelief. I don't think I have to do this. I don't think church will help me. I don't think I have to get baptized. I don't think I have to give that way. I don't think I have to witness to people. I don't think I have to do those things. And you're doubting what the Word of God says. So you let the Word of God slip away a little bit. You begin to doubt what it says. You don't believe it. And you begin to get dull of hearing. And then finally, it says, therefore, you do that, you reach a point where you're unable to listen. You're unable to receive it, and you don't act on it. You sit in a Sunday school class, and the lesson's plain, it's clear what you ought to do, and you just can't quite do it. You go to a church service, and you say, there's an invitation to do something, and your heart may be beating a little fast, and you say, I need to do that myself. I need to be on one of those missions trips. I need to be soul winning. I need to get baptized myself. I need to join that church. I need to do something. But you're not quite able to do that action. You don't quite go forward. Why don't you go forward? Because you become dull of hearing. Everything is now a little boring. Your Sunday school teacher's boring. Your pastor's boring. The evangelist comes in, he's boring. Anything spiritual that you're around is boring, and you can't act on it. The Thessalonians said this. They said, we have the Word of God. The Word of God. your Bible sitting on your lap right now is God's Word. The Creator of the world wrote it to you. That makes it pretty important. That's better than a romance novel, right? It's the Word of God. And the first symptom of backsliding, is Word of God's dull. Sunday school's dull. Preaching's dull. Everything's dull. Now, not always, but generally speaking, if you're in that situation, you are the problem. Generally. You can find times when it's a Sunday school teacher or it's the preacher or whoever. But generally speaking, it's you. So if you get dull of hearing and you get in this spot, you can't take action. You know, Billy Graham could come in here and shake this building and you can't take a step forward. You can't take a step of faith because you've gotten dull of hearing. You've backslidden. Okay? That's what Paul is saying to the Hebrews. Here's the second problem, to know that you're immature spiritually. Second problem, inability to share. Now, the Bible says some people are given the gift of teaching. It's a gift, and you have that. But this is everybody. All of us should be able to share. Now, like, you should be able to walk home today and talk to someone in your house and say, well, this is what the pastor talked about. He talked about spiritual dullness, not growing, backsliding. That's not necessarily teaching, but it's sharing. So, second mark of immaturity is an inability to share. Let's look at verse 12. It says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. So, these Hebrews were not ready to share the things of God, the basic foundational things of Christ. They weren't ready to share. So Paul said, you got to go back and start over. And illustration, children generally have to learn how to share. I know this is a little different, but children have to learn how to share, and it's kind of hard to learn how to share. But they have to learn to it. They have to learn how to do it. And that's what Paul said in Hebrews. You have to learn how to share. And he says in verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He is saying, you still need a baby food diet. You still need the baby food to the Hebrews, okay? And that's what we've already said. The milk is the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the burial, the resurrection. But the meat, Paul says, that I want to give you is what's Christ doing today? What's Jesus Christ doing today? You know what? Might be pretty exciting. We grow up to the point of we know what he did on earth, and then sometimes we don't grow anymore, and we don't know what he's doing now. What he's doing now is pretty exciting. Now, let me say this. I know that we never outgrow the milk. We never outgrow the milk, and we shouldn't. We're going to use that and need that. But we must not stop there. I want to read two verses to you in Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace, the God of peace. That'd be a description of God the Father. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. What did God the Father do? He raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? The God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. And then who is the Jesus? That great shepherd of the sheep. He's the great shepherd, isn't he? The shepherd of the sheep. Who are we? We're the sheep. That great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ. It says, how did he do it? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He did it through his blood. His precious blood paid for our sin, covered our sin, gives us life, eternal life, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. How long is the covenant for? It's forever. Verse 21, may that person make you perfect. Perfect here, complete. Make you complete in every good work to do his will. Now you're forgiven, you're perfect in the fact that your sin is covered, but you and I aren't complete to do everything God wants us to do, okay? It says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So Philippians says this, Jesus Christ is working in you right now. He is working in your life. Doesn't matter if you're 16 or 27 or 82. If you're saved, Jesus Christ is working in your life. Every one of us here has a little different life, little different things going on. I mean, you know, just life in general, there's different things going on. And Jesus is working in you. What's he working in you for? To do his perfect will and the things that are going to please him, be well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen means so be it. Jesus Christ, to be glorified through our lives and our pleasing him. That's one of his purposes right now, to work in us. If we don't step forward by faith, we're dull of hearing. We don't understand. We don't get the blessing that God wants to give us. All right? So go to verse 14. It says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, maturity. The strong meat's for those that are mature in Christ. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, we exercise our senses. Every day we exercise our smelling sense, right? We exercise our eyes, we exercise our hearing. And as we exercise, we get more discerning. And we can say, there's a fire in the building. There's a pie in the oven. The hamburger's burnt. Whatever. We exercise those senses and we become more discerning. So we're supposed to do the same thing spiritually. That we hear preachers preach something that's not true, and we, if we have exercised our spiritual sense, you can say, well, that's not true. If I'm not telling the truth, and you are mature spiritually, you can say, well, that's not right. He's not preaching the truth. Okay? And I would challenge you. You take this home, and you prove me right or wrong. And exercise your senses. So prove me right or wrong. I'm telling the truth right now, or this is all fairy tale. Okay? exercise your senses. You ever see a baby, 2 months old, 6 months old, 8 months old, they get near an electrical cord, what do they do with it? They grab it. Where do they put it? They put it in their mouth. They put anything in their mouth. My grandson was running across the yard the other day. He stopped, picked up a stick, and put it in his mouth. And I'm thinking, oh, that doesn't taste good. He puts anything in his mouth. Well, that's a lack of discernment. He's a baby. Okay? Now, if we're a baby in Christ, we'll listen to anybody, and we'll say, wow, isn't that good? I can name some people, but it may not be good. It may not be good. I'll tell you, I don't hedge on this. My Bible says Jesus Christ has a hold of my salvation, and he ain't going to let go of me, and I will never perish. That's what my Bible says. If I get saved, I will never perish. Never. What's that mean? That means I can't lose it. You couldn't save yourself, and let me make sure you understand, you can't keep yourself saved either. You can't keep yourself saved. You're still a sinner, and you're sinning against God every day, and he has a hold of you, and he said he's not going to let go of you, and no one can take him out of your hand. Okay? So the more you learn, you get discerning. And you hear a preacher, and it's almost entertaining. You can turn the TV on, and within a minute or two, you can say, you might as well turn that guy off. Or you may say, that's pretty good. This guy's good. You just, as you grow in Christ, you become discerning. That's what you want. You want it so you're not sticking electrical cords in your mouth. You understand? You're not putting junk in your mouth or listening to people that aren't going to tell you the truth. You want to be discerning. That's Jesus wants to work in your life to do the will and do things that are pleasing to him, because he has Canaan for you. He has the promised land. He has all these rewards out here for you if you will follow him and trust him and walk by faith. Walk by faith. Impossible, Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Okay? Now, he said, you're unskillful in the word of God. You grow and use a word. We have to get to where we grow and use the word daily to develop spiritual discernment. Okay? 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8 says, they call it exercising yourself unto godliness. Exercising yourself to become godly. This is where Israel, and I'll close with this, Israel came to Kadesh Barnea. It's time to walk into the promised land. Brother, you are saved, and now here it comes, all the blessing of God. And they didn't have enough discernment to go in. They didn't have enough faith, enough discernment, so they couldn't go in. The whole generation stayed in the wilderness the rest of their life and died there. They lost the blessing of this life. So what do you and I lose if we don't progress spiritually? Well, we lose blessing in this life. We lose rewards in the next life. It's a total loss. It's impossible to stand still in the Christian life. You're either going forward or backward. A lot of people are this, and maybe you're here today. They're in-betweeners. They're in-betweeners. By that I mean, you're out of Egypt. Picture the Hebrews. You're out of Egypt. You're free. You're not a slave anymore. You're saved and you're safe. You are going to heaven. However, you're not in Canaan where all the blessing is. You're in the wilderness just wandering around, wasting a Christian life. The unhappy person in this life is the Christian that's out of fellowship, not walking by faith. If you're unsaved, you can live in this world and enjoy some of it. If you're saved and living right, you live in this world and you can still enjoy it. You enjoy Christ. But if you're saved and living in the world, trying to enjoy sinful things, you're going to be an unhappy camper. So you don't want to be backsliding. So you're an in-betweener. You're out of danger, but you're not in the rest and the blessing of Christ. Another one is this. You may say, you're in between. You're in between Good Friday and Easter. Good Friday, Jesus Christ died for you. He died. Your sin's paid for. His blood covered your sin. You're safe. You're safe. You've trusted Christ. Good Friday. You're in between Good Friday and Sunday. You know what happened on Sunday? A resurrection. Jesus Christ came out of the grave. You know, things got pretty exciting in Jerusalem on the resurrection day. Pretty exciting. And some people are in-betweeners or in between the two. You got saved, but you don't have the blessing, the rest, the joy, the excitement in the Christian life. And you need to make a commitment to Christ. Christ, I surrender my life to you in every area. I give you my life. My life. God, whatever you want that I have is yours.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.